I think that more and more it's important to realize that God wants to be involved with your everyday walk and not just with the miraculous and the thunder and the lightning, you know. Jesus spent a lot of time walking from place to place and a lot of time praying. Ministry was just a small part of his life, not the biggest part. Even though he ministered all wherever he went, it wasn't the largest part. And it's important that we understand that the everyday growth that's produced from this walk of praying and living our life in obedience and of obeying what God tells us to do and what he tells us not to do. You know, obedience just isn't doing things. Sometimes it's not doing things. Your natural soul will want you to do all kinds of things and negotiate with you about why it's so important for you to go out and do things in the name of God. Well, much of the church today is built on doing things in the name of God, but it's through your natural flesh. And that's where religion lies, is look what I brought to you, God. Look what I've done for you. But the natural flesh will allow us to serve God, but it'll never allow us to do something that makes it die. He'll let you be busy, but he won't let you die. And I think for me, there's a, I don't know what the word is, but there's a rest that I seem to be, I don't want to say living in, but trying to live in. Is that a better way of saying it? God's trying to keep me in. Because it's not a lack of activity, that rest. It's not in your own power. And there's things from heaven that God has for you to fulfill what he has in store for you. There's things from heaven that God has for you, not just for your calling, but for your everyday life, your family, your finances, your health, your peace. And these are things that can only come from our Father. I had that one guy tell me, you know, he's a hard-working man. He comes home from a week long of work, and his nails are dirty with dirt underneath them from working hard all week, and his knuckles are a little bruised and bloody from working hard and laboring all week, and he came home, his clothes are dirty and dusty, he takes his boots off and there's mud on them, and walks into the house, and there is his pretty little wife with the hair all made up and all cute, and he says, "Baby, I'm home." And she comes and says, "Oh, I'm so glad to see you." He says, "It's Friday. It's payday." He said, "I worked all week and labored all week, and I have conquered. And I have earned and conquered our paycheck." And he holds it up. He says, "I am a conqueror." And his cute little wife with her hair made up and comes prancing over sweet and says, "Baby, you are a conqueror. You're the meanest conqueror I've ever seen." And then she grabs the paycheck and goes, "Pff, and I am more than a conqueror." Knowing or living in that place of knowing that whatever you walk in that's true, that lasts for eternity, whatever we accomplish must not be earned, but received. Now, stop there, because I'm not talking about character or maturity or overcoming your flesh or your soul, because how many know that's a fight? That's the fight we're after. I'm talking about our accomplishments, things we do in the name of the Lord, things we do in our callings, in our in what we're he has call for us. These must be received and not earned. It's a hard thing for us not to earn something. It's a hard thing for us not to earn something because we feel safe when we've earned it. We feel accomplished because look what I've done for you. Let's go to Romans. Oh, we'll start in chapter 5. Verse 6 maybe might be a good one. Well, we'll start in verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by the Father into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone might even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Now we know a lot of these scriptures. When you were born again, before you were born again, you were a dirty, rotten sinner. And he still loved you. So now you're born again, and you find you have little dirty, rotten things in your soul that you deal with. You don't have to say amen to that. Some things are best not talked about, just dealt with. Do you think he loves you any less? Do you think he withdraws from you any less? See, before you were saved, he could not fellowship with you because your natures were different. But when you were born into his family, see, sin or struggles with sin were no longer able to keep him from you. Harrison, when he was, I think he was 5, we took him to the YMCA for swimming lessons. We put him in the little tiny shorts and put little SpongeBob glasses on him and goggles and stuck him in with all these kids. They had a little girl teaching him, and you know, we traveled quite a bit at the time, so he hadn't learned to swim like a normal boy. His hotel swimming is different than lake swimming. So we got in the water, and he was trying his best, but you can tell the other kids had already had lessons for years. And so he was trying to figure out the language. She said, now put your head under the water and hold it and swim like this and jump in. And he was nervous. He was behind. You could tell he was definitely behind the other kids. And after their session, the little girl came up to me. She's about 18 years old. And she said, sir, Mr. Taylor, your son, he's a little behind the rest of the class. She said, this is the middle class. You know, the age 6 maybe. And he should be with the 5-year-olds, even though he's 6. He should be with the 5-year-olds, you know, the guppy class. So I suggest next week when you come, just put him with the guppy class. He's about their level. Well, I looked at her straight in the eye because I knew what he needed. I looked at that little girl straight in the eye. I said, Missy, I said, my boy's no guppy. said, he's at least a minnow and he's on the way of being a shark. I said, he'll be in your class next week and he'll be ready. See, I knew what the boy needed. The boy only needed some time with his dad in the pool. That's all he needed. So that week, I spent 2 days, 2 hours each, teaching him how to swim. I'd dunk him in the water, and we'd jump in together. I'd bribe him. I'd threaten him. I'd, you know, whatever it took, you know, to motivate him. And I said, now, take your hand. Your hand's like an ice cream scoop now. Reach out there and grab that ice cream now. Bring it back and put it in your belly. There you go. Now grab another one. That's it. Now just do it to get another one. And I'd hold them as we'd walk through the pool. All these little older people doing their aerobic stuff. And we'd kind of swim around them. By Saturday, he was better. By the next week, he was better. For 6 weeks, I spent hours and hours with him in the pool. And do you know, he was five. He was probably 5 years old, maybe. I'm thinking 5 or 6. Anyways. By the end of the 6 week class, he was top of his class. Because all he needed was time in the pool with his dad. Now, sometimes when we look at God, we think he's a father that stands on the edge of the pool while we're struggling. Says, hey, get it together. Hey, boy, you should know how to swim by now. My Lord, you're 6 years old. Come on. Look at little Jeremiah there, or Johnny, look how good they're swimming. Look at you. You can do better. And when you get better, I'll give you my applause. Now, we think that's harsh, but that's how most people think of God. That in our struggles, he's on the edge of the pool yelling at us and telling us to get it together and withholding what we need. See, and this is the power of the blood of Jesus. This is the most precious thing you have. Is the blood of Jesus wasn't just to get you born again. That was the price of salvation. The price that was paid was the blood of Christ. The Lamb was slain to give you the opportunity for his Father to become your Father. But it didn't stop there. The blood of Jesus carried on. To give you the opportunity that even while you're struggling with no matter how bad your sin is, that you can fellowship with him as if you have not sinned every day. That's the power of the blood of Christ. That's the power of being born in his family. That God is not afraid of you in the pool. He wants to jump in with the pool with you. He wants to stand right with you and walk with you while you go through your struggles because he still loves you just as much as he did before you were born again. Why would he love you any less? It's only pride in yourself that tries to keep him away while you fix it, while you deal with it. When I do enough, when I go enough, when I have enough, then I'll receive what I want and I'll earn it. There's a walk of love that we can have right now, every day, in the midst of our struggles. Not to keep us there, to help us walk through it. You understand how much turmoil we go through when we struggle with things? Now, this is why, well, all right. Let's go to 1 John. This is why. Let me tell you. Religion has laid a case of a father who is distant, who withholds his love, withholds his care. And this is why there's been a message of grace that's come in and says, no, that's not who God is. God is a father who loves you. Well, how many know God is a father who loves you? See, we understand that. But there is a overwhelming relief when you finally grab hold of a message that says, oh, I don't have to fight my flesh anymore. See, the one thing, the one thing that you think stands between you and God is no longer matters. I remember when I started to fall for that years ago, 20 years ago, when they said, well, sin no longer has dominion over you. I had an image painted in me that said, oh, sin no longer matters. Jesus put away sin. Until I learned the born again trail and found out, oh, that meant I can overcome sin. See, freedom, if you're a drug addict, is not being free to go to keep doing drugs. That's bondage. I'm free, don't judge me, hallelujah, I can do what I want. You're actually in bondage to your flesh. You're a slave to your flesh. Real freedom is the power to say no to your flesh. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. And I wasn't going to teach this, but you have to know. I don't know how I can preach this as strong without bringing out my preaching voice, but you have to get to the place where you know you're safe with your Father, even through your struggles and failings, because of the blood of Christ. The ability to receive and enjoy His love and be embraced. You know, when you worship, you can either go in worshiping like, oh, please, please, don't kill me. Don't strike me with lightning. Or you can go boldly into His presence, knowing that the blood of Christ allows you not just to get saved, but it made it possible for God. See, God isn't in heaven waiting for you to get there so He can have great love with you and fellowship with you. Oh, one day, one fine day, when the days are by and by, and 10,000 years from now, finally I'll be able to give you an embrace I want, because your flesh will be off of you and you'll be safe. He couldn't wait that long. He wanted to do it right now. He, because of the blood, can get past your ugly flesh and hug you. But, preacher, you don't know how ugly my flesh is. Is it uglier than before you were saved? Don't look around and judge other people. Compare yourself. Don't compare yourself. Say, well, that guy's got it together. That's why God uses them. Some people are just better at hiding their struggles than others. Verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, stop there. Let me do my trick here and pull myself apart for you. You ready? I've been practicing this little hard work here, but here we go. I'm going to pull my inward man out from my outward man. Ready? There we go. Okay. This here is my flesh, right here. Looks like me, a little gray hair. It's got a southern accent mixed with a Canadian accent, which confuses everybody. Got some bear meat on me now. Now my inward man, it's not a ghost. It doesn't float around. It's not foggy. Your inward man, and I won't go into teaching because we all know this. Your inward man, let me just hear, looks like me. A little skinnier, just a little bit. A little younger, just a little bit. This is my inward man. It has fingers and toes, a nose and a brain. Okay? Now, when I get to heaven, I don't think I'll have a Canadian accent. I think we'll sound the same accent. We'll definitely speak the same language when we get to heaven. It's my natural man that has the accent. A little boy who's born with a retardation to his brain and can't speak or think or talk. The moment he dies, he'll stand there perfectly able to think and talk, because your inward man is different than your outward man. So this is my inward man. The inward man has a nature. The outward man is just a body. The outward man has a brain and chemicals and emotions, and you have to feed it food. You've got to feed your inner man the word. One day we will not have this body. We'll have a new flesh. A new flesh will be incorruptible, not corruptible. So when Alan was born again, or when I was born again, God took the nature of Alan Taylor that came from Adam and put it to death and replaced it with a new nature, a heavenly nature. Everyone was still with me. The flesh doesn't have a nature. The flesh is dumb. It's like a chicken with his head cut off who thinks he's running around, but he's really dead. So here I am, born again now. I am born again. Alan Taylor was put to death, but his body is still on me, trying to tell me who I am and what I'm doing. It's my job to make Alan's flesh submit to death. Now, he can't actually die, because then I'll go to heaven. But I can make him play dead, and his emotions and his thoughts and everything else. Are you still with me? Say amen. I preach better when you say amen. Amen. Verse 5. This is a message which we've heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. A couple of key words there, darkness and practice. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us of all sin. Now, every one of us is standing, and in front of you is two paths. One path here is a path of darkness. It's a path that leads to a tunnel of darkness. There's another path that goes the other way and leads to a tunnel of light. So here's what he's saying in this scripture. You're born again, and now you have a choice. You can allow your flesh to rule you and accept your flesh as being approved of God, because your flesh begs you every day to go into the Holy of Holies with you, to tell God to give approval to your flesh. But your flesh is illegitimate. God is not the father of your flesh. He has no compassion for your flesh. He's the father of your spirit, man, but not your flesh. So when you struggle with something, it's because you are not accepting. See, the word struggle means I am not accepting what my flesh is saying who I am as who I am. That's a struggle. A struggle is a good sign. Because if you're not struggling with your fresh flesh and you're embracing it, you're saying, God, accept my flesh as who I am. Are you still with me? So if we say we fellowship with him, me and God, we're saved, he's my father, he loves me, but, verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If I say, hey, I'm born again now, but I accept my flesh as approved. It says I'm not practicing the truth and I'm on a pathway that's leading me into darkness. Does it mean I'm not born again? Probably not right now. You're okay. But the end of that path is darkness where you walk away from God. It took me a long time to understand for me now the balance of when someone might lose their salvation. Because I know that God will never turn his back on you. But see, when you walk into darkness, it means that you've given up the very thing that gives God the ability to rescue you. He's not walking away from him, you're walking away from him. He's not walking away from you, you're walking away from him. Pastor Dave said that God will go to hell and back with you. But the day you start to justify your struggles, then that's the day you start walking away from God. But that's not what I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about the other path. The path into light. See, I have a flesh and he's much more conniving than I realized. But if we walk in the light, verse 7, as he is in the light, if I put myself on a path into the light, meaning I don't accept my flesh as who I am, I may struggle with it, or I will struggle with it. I will fight it. It will fight me. I'll fall. I won't fall. I will fall. I have a good day, bad day, good week, bad week. But if I'm walking on this path in the light, look what it says. As he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us of all sin. That means every morning his mercies are new. You're free to struggle as long as you're pursuing him. And what I want us to embrace, I guess, tonight is the ability to be loved, accept love, embrace him in worship, embrace him in fellowship, not squirmishly, not timidly, but run boldly into his presence because you have confidence that even while your flesh is squirming, the blood of Christ is enough to mean you can walk with him as if you were perfect before you were perfect. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light and have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, on this other path, if we say that we have no sin, that means, hey, there's no more sin. If I say I have no sin, later on it says, if you love the world. If I say I have no sin, here's what it says. We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, walking in the light, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but for the whole world. I have this inward man. It's who I am. God saved me out of Alan Taylor and brought life from my nature into this inward man. My spirit body, my inward man came to light in life because I have a nature that is feeding me light. My spiritual brain can now communicate to God. When I pray in tongues, it comes through my spiritual brain and it tries to go into my natural brain and make it think straight. When I read the word, it goes through my natural brain into my spiritual brain. And I have to try to get the revelation that my spirit understands and makes my brain to listen to it. Do you ever have that peace about something and your inner man says, yes, he's my father, that's true. God says, I want you to do this. I want to take all your money and give it to Gary Carpenter Ministries. Just go ahead. Trust me. And your inner man says, yes, that's God. But then you hear this voice go, no! We will fail. God won't show up. Did you ever have that argument before? See, your outward man, your natural man, doesn't understand God as a father. He understands God as God, like an Old Testament saint. Your flesh, let me give you something and you give it back to me. Let me show you how good I do. Let me bring you an offering so you will accept me. These are all mindsets and come from the natural thinking of your natural man. But your inward man knows who your father is. So when you have that peace inside of you, it's not just the Holy Spirit, it's you. You have peace. That's what you can navigate from, that peace. When you feel like a dirty, rotten scoundrel, and you're timid going into God's presence, you're timid to believe for miracles, you're timid to believe for your healing, for your provision, you're timid to believe for the salvation of your family, that is not truth. Truth is, the blood of Christ has cleansed you. You can go boldly into His presence because you're His child, you're an heir to the kingdom. As I've been learning more and more about who I am, there's a peace that's settled inside of me, between me and God. I want to describe it. I want to spread it. I want to share it. It's a peace that allows you to struggle with your flesh and still be safe with God. Do you know that I can wake up every morning at peace with God? And go to bed every night at peace with Him. Well, are you perfect? Well, what can I say? I have prayed in tongues for a little while. Fasted. Got special revelation from God. I even fed a little poor child. Gave him one of my French fries. Your flesh wants to offer God something. Your flesh is constantly striving for you to connect it with God. It will turn you into a religious servant. There's a peace that you can have, a safety that was purchased for you at the cross by Jesus Christ. His blood was the price that bought you the ability for His Father to be your Father right now, today. Not when you get into heaven, not when you're perfect, not when you overcome everything, but right now, today, there is a liberty that you and I should have every moment of every day to run into His presence, to lift up our hands and worship Him, and to receive His strength and His love and His embrace and His courage. Right now, every day, every moment, anytime you want. You don't have to be afraid of Him as your Father. You do have to be afraid of Him if He's your God and you're not saved. But He's your Father. He doesn't backhand you. He does correct you. You've been corrected before, I'm sure. When you don't get your way, you can pout, but he still won't give you your way. That's one of the first lessons I learned with my little kids. When they start crying, if you got a new baby, just understand, babies cry. That's what they do. Well, what does they need? He needs just to cry. He needs something. They learn. That's amazing. You, at like 3 months old, I could tell when Harrison, now Ava, I was more skilled. With Harrison, you know, we were, I thought I would be the tough dad. You know, we're going to leave that boy in his room. 6 weeks, he's going to, or 3 months is when we decided he's going to sleep in his room all night. Because he wouldn't. He'd wake up every few hours. And I thought I'd be the tough guy. Woman, we're just going to put him in there. We're going to leave him till morning. Well, Christy, you know, she'd been nursing him for 3 months. She was exhausted. She's like, great idea. Let's do it. So after 2 hours, I was begging to go in to make sure he was okay. He wasn't falling out of the bed. And she was holding me back, like, sit back down. But even just after a few months old, I could hear the difference between a real cry and a fake cry. You know those little things? They learn quick how to get their way. I cry, they come. How about that? I cry, they give me stuff. And if they don't give me stuff, I keep crying. Then I train them to give me stuff to shut me up. The problem with God is he won't give in. You can cry all you want. I want to be used of you. I want to walk in millions of dollars. I want to walk in power. I want to do all this stuff for you. He says, amen, I want you to. Now, deal with that. No, I don't want to deal with that. I want this. I want that. And he's stubborn. He'll make you deal with it. That's part of him correcting you. That's part of him loving you. Relationship with God. I want to say this carefully. Is not built on what you do, what you know, what you've done. What you haven't done. Those are fruit from relationship with God. Relationship with God, I believe, has to do with time. You and me spending time with him. Personal time. There's been many times that I've been broken, thought I was destroyed, thought I had failed, thought he abandoned me. And I just sat. One time, it was so rough on me emotionally. Because your emotions are crazy. Don't ever trust your emotions. They're liars. And you can watch a movie that's on TV, and there's two people. The boy meets the girl. They fall in love. The boy goes off to war. Comes back with one arm broken. She's moved on, but he makes it back, survives, comes on the beach, and they run together in the beach, and they make up and kiss on the beach. And here you are watching this movie, and you're crying. Oh, I can't believe they did it. They got back together. It's so awesome. You're Facebooking your friends. Oh. And here's this fake picture about two people that never really existed. Written by some nerdy guy and who never had a girlfriend. By two actors who aren't the people who they're pretending to be. And your emotions are tricked. They're triggered. The devil will trigger it. And not only the devil, your own flesh will trigger your emotions to try to manipulate you to submit to its will. And it will lie to you and say you're a failure in his eyes. You're a bum in his eyes. He'll never do it for you. You're not good enough. That unworthiness is so rooted in our Christianity here in America, well, around the world, that it has stopped us from being able to enjoy the embrace of our Father freely at will. There were nights when I felt so broken and so scared because what he was asking me to do, and my flesh was telling me, not you. maybe that guy or them or her or him, but God will never do that for you. You're going to obey that and you're going to fail. And here I was marching forward with my heart of peace because I believed it was him, while my emotions were screaming at me and yelling at me, failure, it won't work. Anyone hear that before? And there was a night I remember I couldn't even sleep in my house. I couldn't even stay at my house. I just had, you know, I had to go somewhere. My mind was so crazy. I just had to go, and I actually slept out here at the church. I had to pass out because it was just so much. Those wars with your emotions. You know, some of us may have to go through those because it's a liar. Do you ever hear something about someone? You know, that person's like this. And you believe it. And then you finally meet that person. You're like, man, you're nothing like I said you were. Do you ever build a case in your brain about a situation? Because your emotions and your flesh will use logic, reasoning, to put together a case like a detective. And you've got this whole stronghold of reasonings of why you can't. But yet your heart, your spirit man is telling you, you can. When God looks at you, if you're walking in the light, listen, when God looks at you, he looks past that illegitimate flesh of yours and embraces the real you. That's what gives you the power of being embraced by him and embracing him, is that the blood of Christ allows God to look past your flesh and look at the real you. 1,000 times a day you can fail, and he won't even acknowledge your flesh, because that's the power of the blood of Christ. Let's go over to 1 John. I love 1 John. It used to scare me. Now I love it. Oh, we'll start in chapter 4. Maybe verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. For this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's a replacement. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he is in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. Now let me pause here and let me just give a little note on this. Seen lots of preachers, lots of powerful ministries, a lot of miracle ministries. But you know why I enjoyed Pastor Dave so much? Because in all those preachers, I got to see them in the back room. And I learned that you don't judge a preacher by how much he knows. You don't judge a preacher by how much power they walk in. You judge a preacher by how they treat the people in the back room when no one cares. See? And that's why I fell in love with Pastor Dave. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God... See, sometimes I take the verse in 1 John that says he came for the world as well. See? So this is telling you the rest of that scripture. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Now say this with me. If you're born again, say, God abides in me. And I abide in God. Now verse 16. And if we had known and believed the love of God has for us, and we have known and believed the love of God has for us, God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. This is talking about holiness. That is the perfected love. Now look at verse 18. There is no fear in love. Now look at me. Now, fear can mean many things. I mean, don't be afraid of the boogeyman. Don't be afraid of the dark. Don't be afraid of the devil. But in this context, he's talking about fear of God. Being afraid of God. I've heard many messages about the fear of God. Read books about the fear of God. And I understand that really as being reverence, obedient. He asked you to call him Father because he wants you to know him as a father. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love, casts out fear. Because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. There is someone who thinks about you every day, who knows you. He knows your struggles, and he still wants to jump in the water with you. Your flesh, this flesh man, this body. I was driving down Paris, Tennessee with Harrison, and he saw a graveyard, and he said, Daddy, what's that? I said, that's a graveyard, son. What's it for us? And I didn't want him to think that, you know, you die and you just go there. I want to know that you don't ever die. So, of course, me and my great teaching ability said, well, Harrison, that's where people go when they die, but you don't really die. It's just your body that goes there. His eyes got really big. What? You mean they cut your head off and put your body there? And so I said, no, not your body. It's like your body, you know, it's like a glove. It's like skin. What? They skin you and cut your head off and put your body there? At that moment, Christy reached over and tapped me on the leg and said, just give it up. Let me help you with this. Because you can preach this message in the context of walking in the light. You don't have to be afraid of God. There's nothing in you that he's afraid of. And there's nothing in you should be afraid of because of the blood of Christ. Because you are walking in the light. On the road to victory in your flesh, you don't have to be a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. On the road to victory over your emotions and over your flesh and over your thought life and over your actions, you can fail 1,000 times and you can have confidence that you can receive his blood and wash yourself clean and still walk into his presence boldly every day, every morning, because you don't ever have to fear your Father. If you're walking in the darkness, that's a different message. I'm not preaching that message today. I'm being the love guy today. This flesh one day will fall off of you. It will no longer be your battle. It will no longer be your struggle, the emotions that come with it, the thoughts that come with it, That's why when we get to heaven, he gives us a new name, because he has fathered me here and not my flesh. I get to heaven, I get a new name, and I have no troubles with jealousy, envy, strife. Why? Because the source of those things stays here, turns back in the dirt. This flesh is an amazing little creature, this monkey on my back, I call it. It's an animal. I have to feed it food. It's funny. Grass grows. A cow eats the grass. I eat the cow. And somehow my body turns that cow into skin, nails, teeth, hair, bones. Why? Because this body is made from this dirt. Everything above the earth is made from this earth. Everything we have has come from this earth. It's dirt. It's all it is. Dirt. Say this with me. My body is dirt. Now, I have a little girl, Ava, and a little boy, Harrison, and they are like teammates when they want to get in trouble. She encourages him when he's brave. Harrison runs into trouble without thinking. Ava likes it because she follows him, knows that she can rat him out and be safe anytime. She's smart. They'll go in the backyard and they'll play and get dirty and muddy. And when they come running in and Christy's yelling at them for leaving footprints of dirt, they know what to do. They go, "Daddy!" And little Ava will come and she'll have dirt all over her and she'll give me a hug and I'll stop right there. What am I looking at when she gives me a hug? Her or the dirt? Her. Your flesh is a bunch of dirt. It's just mud that's on you. And when you go into God's presence, you can run and spread mud all over the Holy of Holies. Michael the Archangel could be wiping mud from his eye. And you can run right into God's presence and he will ignore the mud and the dirt because you're the one he loves. That's the power of the blood of Jesus. That's the power of being born again. That you, the moment you're saved, no matter how ugly your struggle is, don't give up. Go boldly into his presence every day, every morning, every night. And when your emotions are yelling at you saying, he's not going to love you. You haven't given that much. You haven't done that much. You haven't prayed that much. He loved you when you were a sinner. He'll love you today. The reason why we don't have it isn't because he's not there. It's because religion and your flesh has told you. You need to bring an offering of goodness, an offering of holiness, an offering of niceness to your Father so he will receive you. He doesn't want offerings. He wants you. He wants time. He wants fellowship. You can go to my last 25 messages and you hear lots of messages on death and laying down your life and holiness. But I'm trying to tell you, the core of my life the last few years has been this peace of lack of fear of my Father. That even while I struggle, even though I know I'm overcoming things, I'm walking in the light and I can wake up in the morning at peace with him and go to bed at peace. I can have more of them if I want to. That's why you pray in tongues, you can have more. You can conquer your flesh even more and walk in more of that love and receive more. But I'm going to tell you, his love doesn't get bigger, doesn't shrink. It's always the same. You can have as much of him as you want, but you can receive and enjoy as much of his presence and his love and his healing power and his provision and his freedom and answered prayer while you got all kinds of mud all over you, because he loves you that much. He couldn't wait for you to get to heaven. He made a way through the blood of Jesus to be your Father today. Amen. Let's stand. Thank you, Father. Father, we give up trying to be perfect. You're perfect. We pursue you. We pursue holiness. We pursue perfection in that love. But while we're on that path from this day forward, I choose never to be afraid of you anymore. Thank you for loving me so much. Thank you, Jesus, for making it possible for your Father to become my Father. Maybe you're here tonight and you just need a washing, if I can use that word, a cleansing of that mud off of you. Then right where you are, just lift up your hands and just receive it. Receive His grace right now. When you stand for prayer, it's not through how good you've been or what you've earned. It's all through what you receive. Even holiness and maturity comes through receiving of this walk with Him. Father, we're powerless in our strength, in our flesh, to ever please you. But through what you've given us, through Jesus, we can please you every day. So tonight we humble ourselves and receive of your grace and your strength. We thank you that the blood of Christ cleanses us of all of our sin and washes us from all unrighteousness, that we can enjoy freely relationship and communion with our Father. I love you. I worship you. I magnify you. You're worthy of all praise and glory. I love you. I need you. I worship you. I don't want to stay the same. I want more of you. I want more of you to shine through me, Father. Be my strength. You're my courage. You're my hope. I have nothing without you. I am nothing without you. I love you. I am loved by you. I worship you. I worship you. I worship you, Father. I love you. I love you. You love me. I'm in you. You're in me. I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. I receive your strength tonight. I will not fail. I will not quit. My strength. I love you. I worship you. I worship you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I love you. Thank you, Father. You may feel His presence on you strong, and I know what that's for, is He wants you to get alone with Him. Just get quiet with Him. You know, praying in tongues is our main tool, but worship, it does something different. And worship just doesn't have to be saying, I worship you, I worship you. Worship can be just talking to Him and sharing your heart. On those days that I was broken emotionally, I remember just lying down in the dark and sharing my brokenness with Him. See, He'll comfort you because He loves you. If He could, He would take your soul, your natural soul and your flesh, and get rid of it for you. But He can't. That's your fight. But He'll walk with you through that fight. See? There's someone who knows you and thinks about you every day. And He loves you. Say that with me. Say, I love you. And you love me. Say, I'm in you. And you're in me. I'll never be afraid. Not of my Father. Because He loves me. If you've been going through that emotional battle, you're not alone. If you feel like you are really going through that emotional battle and you'd like for me to pray for you, then why don't you come up here and allow me that opportunity to pray for you and His grace to be your strength tonight. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.